Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ broadcast. Thank you for joining me. Yesterday, I began an introduction to a message I'm going to be sharing by reading an entire chapter found in 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, and that was for the purpose of giving a background on the life of one person in ancient Israel, not just for the sake of knowing scriptural truths and facts and data, but to see how, because human nature is the same through the ages, how might we apply it to our lives? What are the dangers? What are the lessons? What are the things that we can learn and that God might be wanting to warn us or exhort us or encourage us in? That's the purpose of the Word of God. And beloved, as I see end time developments, as we see the times grow darker, as we see much apostasy in the church, beloved, it all comes down, and I have to keep things simple. To me, it's simply a matter of how do you, as a leader or as a believer, view the Word of God? And everything hinges on this. If you believe God's Word is truly His will, His mind, that was given to holy men of old who wrote it down under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And even though we do not have the original autographs, in other words, the actual things that they were, the actual prophet wrote on, for example, or Moses, nonetheless, those God, through the Holy Spirit, through those who copied, and it has been demonstrated, like the findings of the Dead Sea Scrolls, very, very little errors, minimal errors in terms of copyist errors, for example, in the numbers of the size of an army, because they were so conscientious and the Holy Spirit was anointing them that the Word of God could be preserved in integrity. And beloved, it is the Word of God that is so critical, but we must also have the Holy Spirit quickening and enlightening that Word to our hearts. But beloved, that's the dividing line. You either believe it's the inspired, inerrant, absolute Word of God, where it contains absolute truth, or you compromise. We need to be more relevant for where we are at today, what society is like, the challenges we face, whatever kind of verbiage you want to use. Nonetheless, that's the dividing line. Where do we stand on the Word of God? And the reason I was sharing this is because we're looking at the life of Jeroboam. He fled from the presence of Solomon. He was in Egypt, but when he heard that Solomon had died and his son Rehoboam was anointed king over Israel, Jeroboam came with all Israel to him and basically said, you know, we had a hard time under your father. Could you make it a little lighter for us? And so Jeroboam, listening to two kinds of counsel, the older men who advised his father, the younger men who said, oh, you know, they're just complaining. You think they had it bad under your father, you're going to really show them what it is to be tough. And so, of course, what happened is all of Israel departed. There was a split in the nation. There was Judah still remained. David's promise was upheld by the Lord. But all of Israel departed. The 10 tribes went their own way and would have nothing to do with the king, King Rehoboam, and what he was planning to enforce. And yet this was part of God's plan. This man, Jeroboam, had been given a prophetic word that he would one day rule over Israel. And of course, this is the significant thing. God calls people. And even as he did for the children of Israel, they went through their wilderness wanderings, it says the Lord was proving what was in their heart to see whether or not they would serve the Lord or no. And many times, even Saul was given a position as first king of Israel, and had he continued in a godly way, his house, his line would have been established. However, he rebelled against God's command, and God sought a man who sought after his own heart, and that was David. And so there's a tremendous responsibility that we have in a leadership role. It is absolutely imperative that we understand that we've been given great responsibility. And if you're a pastor or an evangelist, I pray that you walk in great humility before the Lord, because it's an awesome and fearful thing to be responsible for the lives of the people, what you say, your actions. And as James says in the third chapter, verse 1, he says, "My brethren, be not many masters," or another translation would say teachers, "knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation." What does that mean? It means that there to whom much is given, much shall be required, and there will be firmer and stricter standards held to those who have been given an anointing, given a position of leadership. And that's exactly true in the case of Rehoboam. He was anointed king. And then at that point, We want to see the choice that Jeroboam made. Because as we see in that third chapter, it says he was, in verse 25, Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim. He dwelt therein. In other words, that was the head of his kingdom where he stayed. And as he pondered this new position of authority, he said, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David if all of Israel goes to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem." So he wanted to make sure that he was going to be secure, that his position of authority would not be threatened. So he devised, upon counsel, it says in verse 28, "Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto all of Israel, it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And he put one golden calf in Bethel and the other in Dan, the southern and the northern kingdom. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. So what do we see here? We see someone who, and you know, the sad thing is, beloved, we need to pray for those who are in leadership. Pray for your pastor. There's great warfare against the body of Christ. If you've experienced it in a personal way, know that the attacks against those whom God has placed in a leadership role or position are very intense and great. And they need the support of your prayers, because they will either follow the way of the Lord. They will be one of those pastors whom the Lord spoke through Jeremiah, "I will give you pastors after my own heart." Or they will be in a place of prominence, in a place of position, and yet their motives will not be pure, and they will follow their own agenda. It may sound good. Oh, it may have a form of godliness, but will lack the power thereof. That's exactly what Jeroboam did. And beloved, it's happening today. Just recently, in various ways, through the mailing list, through personal contacts, I have heard some horrific things what God's people have endured when they went to leadership. The lack of wisdom, the lack of counsel, it appalls me. I can't get my head around what some of the sheep are encountering. And beloved, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And I'm speaking to leadership right now, but also that's true of us in our own lives. But let's continue to look at Jeroboam. And, you know, as you read the history of the kings of Israel, as you read 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, which is a chronicling, a historical documentation of what occurred when the kingdom was split and the kings that rose to the throne, there is a frequent phrase that is often repeated. Here's just an example found in 2 Kings, and this is the 15th chapter, verse 9, and this is referring to which king was this? In the 30 and 8th year did Azariah, king of Judah, Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reign over Israel in Samaria. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And that phrase, the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, that is repeated over and over. I don't know how many times. What an epitaph to have to your memory, a eulogy that would describe what the works of your life. You who made the people of God to sin. It makes one tremble when you think of the responsibility that leadership has. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, became the deviser of wicked things. Although he was of the heritage of Joshua, he premeditatedly inspired sin. Seeds of thought sprang up in his heart. His mind began to devise ways to keep the children of Israel in bondage. Instead of rebuking the thoughts of sin, to have those thoughts would necessarily not be sin, but he nurtured them and protected them. In verse 26, Jeroboam said in his heart, and that's what I've shared with you, he was going to prevent any kind of schism, and he was going to set up worship idols in the south and north of his kingdom so Israel would not go back to Jerusalem or perhaps begin to support Rehoboam. And so, beloved, there's only two ways for us to walk. And many Christians, many leaders choose to walk the wrong path. There are those who are willing to do the I will of God, and the others choose the I think of man. And, you know, his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. That's why we must walk in humility and sincerity and submission before the Lord of hosts, because one day we will be held accountable for what we have done and the influence we have had on others for good or for bad. Well, I bring this broadcast to a close. I do invite you to write and share your prayer requests, and I invite you to join me again at the same time tomorrow. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.